Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. On November 1st of last year, another honor flight took off from Mitchell Field. This is such a wonderful program. Just in southeast Wisconsin, 3,500 World War II and Korean War veterans from southeastern Wisconsin have made the trip to Washington, D.C. to visit their memorials, to meet each other, to sometimes meet family members of those they lost when they were in war. And also, they are honored by service members who are active, by members of their families, by bands who show up at the airport. You see the videos of this, and it just brings tears to your eyes because they are such moving events. On the plane last fall, as a volunteer, Jonathan Lucroy. And Jonathan has done a great deal of work with veterans. He, of course, is the all-star catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, who will be back in action soon. He injured his toe a little while ago and has been on the disabled list, which allows him to be with us, which I'm thankful for, but I'm sorry about his toe. He has visited VA hospitals. He's helped raise funds for the Milwaukee Fisher House, which is a home away from home for military families when loved ones are receiving care. He brings vets to Miller Park, and he brought someone with him, someone special in his life on this honor flight trip, and we're just delighted to have him with us. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Jonathan. A little bit later during the course of this hour, we will speak with two other people who are on the November trip. One is a Korean War veteran and another a World War II veteran, and we'll hear from somebody from Honor Flight Stars and Stripes as well. Our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk@wpr.org. Jonathan Lucroy, thank you so much for being with us.
All right, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. You have said you were honored last week, actually, which was a very nice thing, for getting the Wisconsin Sports Award. You talked about Honor Flight and said, I think second to getting married and seeing my child being born, it was one of the most honorable times in my life.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so humbling whenever you go to this thing, you go see these things, and I've never been around. I've visited VA hospitals and I've met them in hospitals, but most of the time when I go see them, they're kind of out of it a little bit. Uh-huh. On this trip, majority of the guys knew me, and they were so excited to see me. I'm sitting here going, "What?" It's pretty amazing to me because, I love history, and I love reading about military history, especially and wars. And I think that to these days, so many young people my age, take these guys for granted about what they went through, to help keep us free, and to protect our world from evil. Like, people don't get it. And, they don't appreciate that. And, when I walked in that plane and on the airport, whenever we were taking off and all this stuff, getting ready to go, all these guys are just all over, they loved it. And talking to me, I'm just like, man, I'm just sitting here, I didn't think I was worthy to even be there, really. Cause I'm just a baseball player, and these guys have been through, who knows what in battle,
right.
They've had to, I mean, come on, I'm just a baseball player. That's all I am.
Oh, and you're a pretty darn good baseball player, though, too. And I think you were the perfect person to go, because I've watched you many times. I'm a big Brewers fan, and I've rooted you. I was telling KP, it's weird to talk to you because I'm so used to saying Luke, sitting in the stands, and now here you are on the show. But there is something I think, very solid about you, and I'd always tell my friends, this guy's dependable, and you'd always hit a triple whenever I said that. So there's something, and I think there's something humble about you that the vets must have responded to as well. That's the way you were presented, certainly, in the video.
Well, I believe in, I'm not a big self-promoter. I don't like to do that.
Right.
I think that stuff catches up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be humble about stuff. I'm confident and I believe in myself, but I try to be humble on everything else, because I try to keep the worldview that, we came in this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. So, what we do in between, it's not about you, it's about helping other people. For me, that's what I get a lot of pleasure I mean, do I love hitting home runs? Heck yeah. Do I love hitting doubles and getting hits and winning games? I do. I love it. Mm-hmm. All right, I've loved it since I was 7 years old. But honestly, like, I get true happiness, true self-worth out of helping people. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I've been put on this planet and put on a platform of being a professional baseball player, you know, and to use my platform to help other people and make people smile and distract them from their problems, from their issues in their life that make them unhappy. And especially these World War II guys, these veterans, Vietnam and Korean War, and even current guys, you know, current veterans. I mean, these guys have been through, I mean, for lack of a better term, hell, you know, a lot of them have, right. And experience a lot of things that we never will. None of us ever will. And, you know, and they sacrifice a lot, both mentally and physically. And they've seen stuff that we couldn't even imagine, you know? So, you know, I think that, the least we can do is honor them and, you know, take them to Washington for a day to help them and, you know, to give them, you know, an experience like that. And, you know, I'm glad to be a part of it.
And I noticed that you took your roommate during your freshman year at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, who served mm-hmm. in Afghanistan. Why did you do that? And tell me a little bit about him, Jonathan.
Well, one of my best friends in college, he's, like you said, my roommate. He's our center fielder from Oklahoma. His name is John Coker. And, you know, he was a super talented athlete, actually drafted by some I forgot who it was. Royals, I think, drafted him out of high school, and he played some independent ball. He played professional baseball in Europe after he graduated from college, and then he came back here, and he just had a hankering, I guess you could say, or a feeling like he wanted to go into the military, and so he signed up with the Army National Guard in Oklahoma, and went to boot camp, and then 2011 got deployed to Afghanistan. Well, we remained real tight, man. Like, we were close, you know, in college. And he was over there for 6 months. I think it was 6 months, something like that. And they were sitting inside of a bombed-out house. You know, the building had been – half of it was down, and they were just in there getting shade, you know. They were trying – they were resting because, you know, it's pretty hot over there. And so they were resting in the shade, kind of snoozing, you know. And two Taliban or Al-Qaeda or whatever they are, terrorists, popped up. And, you know, they ambushed and they just popped up behind this wall. They didn't see him. They snuck up on him. Oh. Two of these guys did and hosed him down pretty good, you know. And two of his buddies died right next to him. Both of them, two guys, one guy on his right, one guy on his left, both were shot in the head. Mm. They're gone. Mm. They're, yeah, see you later. And then he got shot twice. And once in his left leg, once in his right leg, shattered his femur. He has no feeling from his knee down. He died for 15 seconds. They brought him back, and then he passed out, and then he woke up. He was in Texas when he woke up. And so, like, he's, you know, I got a phone call, and, you know, they're like, hey, you know, Coke, call him Coke. He goes, you know, Coke was shot. They don't, he's in a coma. He's having down or whatever. No one, they don't know. And I'm like, you know, he was one of my best friends in college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, So it was a tough time, but that was a time that I was like, man, here I am. I mean, I think it was my second year in the big leagues. I'm like, dude, I got to do something. So the first thing I did was I said, I got a jersey with my name. I got a jersey with my number and his name, right? Mm-hmm. So 20, and it had his name on it. Mm. And I said, I had the whole team sign it. I said, you know, I wrote him a little message on there, and I sent it to him in the hospital. Mm. And when he woke up, he kind of came to, whatever, it was there for him, waiting on him. And he said it was, you know, he was really happy that we did that for him. And, you know, and ever since then, you know, I was like, man, these guys are going through a lot. And I'm like, I want to help them. I want to, because I told my agent, because my agent asked me, he goes, what charity interests you? Like, what do you want to focus on? Kids, you know, cancer, whatever. And I said, look, I want to do military families, military veterans, and I want to do children. I want to do kids. I love kids to death, and I think the military veterans, they need, these guys need to be helped. We need to help raise awareness for these guys and do what we got to do, and see if we can make something happen with some different organizations. So that's what we did, and that's what brought me to it.
Jonathan Lucroy is our guest. We'll have time for a couple of phone calls. We're talking about his work with Honor Flight. He put a documentary on JS Online about his trip last November, and really moving interviews with vets, with World War II and Korean, and one was Korean Vietnam vet. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. It's hard for me. I mean, I just sob when I watch these interviews, and we've had some Honor Flight interviews on before, Jonathan, and there's just something about the enormity of what they've been through, and you must have really felt this with your friend and also with the people you were with on this flight. They've just seen horrors. Some of them have had to make amends, they said, for what they did in war for the rest of their lives. Somebody else said that, you know, it should be outlawed. It's a cruel, horrible thing to have a war to kill each other. And it was just how overwhelming that experience must be just gets to me every time I hear these people talk. And many of them haven't talked very much about their experiences, have they?
No. No. You know, and they told me before, said, look, you're going to be interviewing these guys. And, you know, not all of them have seen combat, you know, but several of them that I had, that I interviewed did, like big-time combat. And, you know, it was really hard to interview them because I didn't want to take it too far and bring up painful, but I wanted to kind of throw it out there that I told them for the camera roll, I said, look, I'm going to ask you questions. If you want to talk about stuff, talk about it. If you don't, then, you know, well, you know, you just do what you want to do. I'm going to throw a general question out there and you guys just talk. Bring it up. If not, I totally understand. I don't want to make you talk about something. You know, and some guys did a little bit, but it wasn't like, I've been hanging out with like my buddy Coker John, you know, for a lot. We've hung out a lot since he's kind of recovered and he's back, you know, pretty much normal, not normal, but he's back, you know, talking and everything. And, you know, and I just found out, you know, I just really got into deep with him, you know, about 3 months ago, mm-hmm. about stuff that happened. And, you know, because I mean, those guys bury a lot of that stuff, and it's amazing, you know, that I couldn't imagine having that stuff on my heart or on my mind about what they've seen and what they've done. And, you know, I mean, you guys have seen Saving Private Ryan. You guys have seen a lot of war movies. I mean, think about that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what those guys saw and did.
Right.
I mean, that's very traumatic.
Right.
So it was an interesting time and very fulfilling and very humbling, man. Like, I was super humbled, and it was tough because I didn't want to hurt or bring up pain with them, but I wanted the viewers to be able to see and feel it and be able to understand the enormity of, you know, what these guys went through.
Mm-hmm. And the whole experience, it's done so right, isn't it? With all the bands and the people kissing them and giving them hugs and being able to meet family members whose dads usually had been lost in World War II, and their sons or daughters would meet with people who survived. And the whole thing was just this profound human connection and this profound thank you to all of these vets who probably haven't received a whole lot of thank yous until recently.
No. And I mean, a lot of these guys, I mean, are, you know, they're getting up there in age. So, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're getting to that time in their life that it's almost there, you know, it's almost over. So,
right. And
I mean, I think the fact that they're honored like that, you know, is something that it needs to happen. I think every single one of those guys needs to get that, I guess in baseball terms, almost a standing ovation. You know,
it's a good way
to put it. And every single one of these guys deserves that.
Right.
In my opinion, men and women. And, you know, I remember when we landed in Washington, we got off the plane, they had a band there, and they had, you know, probably a couple hundred passengers from other destinations and stuff standing out there clapping. And people I saw people crying. And these people are just, you know, just regular old travelers, you know, going wherever to work or whatever. And, you know, they stopped to see this. I mean, everybody knows what it is now.
Right.
Because all these veterans have World War II stuff on their hats on or whatever. You know, Vietnam hats on and all that, and it was intense. It was, and when we got the one of the best moments was when we got back here to Milwaukee. There was a couple thousand people in there, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, these veterans were crying because their families were there. You know, their grandkids, great grandkids were there, and these guys were crying. It was amazing.
Mm. Here's an email that's come in. Jonathan, you have said that you would treasure the trip for the rest of your life. Did this experience give you a different appreciation for life and also for what you're able to do for a living? It comes from Andrew.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, I was talking about before, I think a lot of people take these guys for granted and what they've been through, And they don't understand that, you know, there was a lot of bloodshed for our country to make it the way it is now. And, you know, it just cements, I mean, to me, like, after my buddy got shot and I kind of started opening my eyes to that kind of this stuff, you know, I was already there mentally with the way I thought about it, with the way I felt about it in terms of life, you know, but this really truly, like, just cements my feeling, you know, that, you know, we can't take this stuff for granted, and it's my job here now as a Major League Baseball player to help other people and to bring awareness to these men and women and that have sacrificed so much for our country, you know, to give us a life we live today. And I would definitely agree with Andrew in that email that, you know, it definitely changed my perspective on life a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think everybody should go on one of these trips just to understand, like, I mean, I think if people understood what people have done for our country to sacrifice, you know, I think things would be a little different.
And I think it's great that, as you say, you have a moment in time, and it's not a long moment, when you have a great deal of notoriety, you're very, very well known as a good guy who plays terrific baseball, and that you can shed light on these other people, that the moment for you to do that is not a long one, but you're using it when you can.
Exactly. I mean, you know, baseball players play 15 years nowadays at the most. I mean, there's a few guys in the 20-year range, but as a catcher, I mean, I'm being realistic. And, you know, that's like 15 years is a long time for a catcher. I mean, most guys, catchers, are, I think the average is like 4 to 7 years for a catcher. And so this is realistic. And, you know, but while I'm here, while I have a platform, I'm going to do my best to help and bring awareness and to contribute and to distract guys. I mean, because, I mean, I know I go on TV. I know what baseball is. Baseball is entertainment for a lot of people. I know I can go on TV and I can play and guys will watch me and they won't think about what they've been through, what they've seen. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't think about, you know, their buddies being blown up or whatever. They won't think about that. They'll think about me playing baseball. And that's what I think that's what I take pride in, is distracting and, doing my best to put a smile on their face, you know, because, I'm sure that these guys, have a lot of, nightmares and bad dreams. And I know those guys told me several guys told me, he goes, you know, we think about what happened. I go, I think about what happened every single day. I think about what happened in the war every single day. And, you know, I mean, they're still holding that stuff in. They're still bringing that baggage with them. So
mm-hmm.
I want to distract them from it.
You, I love the little scene. I can't remember which vet you were talking to, but he shook your hand and he thought you were terrific. You were one of his heroes, and he was talking about how tough your handshake was, how solid it was, and no wonder you can hit the bat like that. It was
yeah,
great.
That was old Roy Radke right there. Old Roy. I remember him. Yeah, that guy's a fighter right there now.
And I would imagine that all of those people will stay with you forever, Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you know what's sad is my agent called me that day and is like, hey, you know, we've already, the honor flight was in November, and there's already been, I think, three guys off the honor flight that died. And I was like, what? You know, and I'm like, you know, it's amazing because these guys are just, you know, I mean, they're getting up there in age. It's that time, and, you know, and I'm realistic. I mean, I've had two of my grandparents die, and, you know, and I understand that's a part of life, and, you know, and it's tough because it's like, man, like, I want to know their story. I want to know it so I could tell others.
Yes.
You know,
right.
So I could share, but I don't want to take it too far because I know that they bury all that, you know, a lot of them don't like talking about it, which I get too. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I just want to be appreciated. That's it. And, it's something that I'll remember the rest of my life for sure.
I
can't help it, you know.
Yeah, and they will too. It's obvious that you were deeply appreciated. How's your toe?
Toe's good.
Good.
Toe's good, you know. Still healing, broken bone, so it's just crossing days off the calendar with a broken bone, but, you know, it is what it is, so.
I'm so glad you went on this flight, and people can still see the documentary, right, JS Online?
Oh, yeah, it's online. Okay. I think it's either online or on YouTube or something, but it's on there somewhere. Just Google it, and it'll pop up. And it's pretty intense. And everybody just keep in mind that I had something in my eye, like, the whole time.
You did?
Allergies and stuff. Yeah, I was fighting allergies. That's why I started tearing up a lot. So that's what happened with that.
I would have been sobbing the whole time, Jonathan, on a trip like that.
It was tough. It was tough, man. Like, I just couldn't. I'm trying to be, you know, on a personal note, on the hardest time for me, the whole trip, was one of the guys that died next to my buddy, right, in Afghanistan.
Yes.
Was buried in Arlington. So when we got there, I said, how can we do this where I could take my buddy to see his buddy that died next to him in Arlington? And so the National Park Police worked it out with us. And we rode over there with a police officer to the spot. And my buddy got out, went over to his buddy's grave. I had found the guy's grave like 2 years ago. I went. We played the Nationals. And I took a picture of his grave, and I found it. And then we found it again for John to see. And John was, now that was tough for me to watch. It was very difficult for me to watch, you know, because on a personal level, you know, it was very tough. And, but it was good for closure for him, I think. And, you know, all around, it was a great day, great experience. And it's something that I'll treasure the rest of my life, for sure.
I'm sure you will. I'm glad you did it. And you did it with a great deal of compassion. Thank you so much, Jonathan Lucroy, for being with us. And thanks for your baseball playing, too. I've always just admired the heck out of you. I think you're a solid, decent, honest, compassionate guy who plays terrific baseball. What more can you ask for, right?
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, there's... I don't think I'm better than anybody. And, you know, if I do feel like I'm better than anybody, I guarantee you my mom or my grandma will come over here and spank me. So I can't fall into that trap, and I won't. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's true, though. I'm serious. Like, I'm afraid. I'm definitely afraid of my grandma and my mom. So I think it's true. So I have no choice but to be down to earth and humble about it. Trust me.
Good for you. There's a lot to be said for humility, Jonathan. I really believe that. Thank you very much. I hope you heal well. We look forward to seeing you back out in the park playing.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Jonathan Lucroy, our guest, and he was on that honor flight in November. There have been many of these honor flights. We've talked to other vets who have gone on them. It's a wonderful program. They're trying to get World War II veterans. There aren't many of them. They're taking the oldest vets first, Korean War veterans. Eventually will be Vietnam veterans, but they're concentrating now on the oldest vets, and they have a long waiting list of vets from the Korean War. We're going to continue our conversation and talk with two of the vets who were on the trip with Jonathan Lucroy, and we'll also speak with somebody from Stars and Stripes. Our phone number, if you'd like to join this conversation, well, you could do that. The number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. On November 1st, 88 veterans from World War II and the Korean War went with Milwaukee Brewers all-star catcher Jonathan Lucroy to Washington, D.C. to see their memorials. And as you heard Jonathan movingly talk about his friend, very good friend, who was severely wounded and lost three of his buddies in Afghanistan. And Jonathan invited him to go on this trip as well, which was a pretty profound experience for the two of them. So more conversation ahead. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rita Janelle Sago was on that trip in November, and she has had quite a life. She was born in 1923 and raised in Green Bay, joined the Navy in 1943, and was sworn in by her father, who I believe was a World War I vet. She was stationed in Washington, D.C., assigned to the Communications Department, and her primary assignment was coding and decoding messages to and from the U.S. ships. We'll hear about her meeting her husband while she was in D.C. and more about her work. And Rita Janelle, thank you very much for being with us. Hi.
Hi.
And you are so chipper. I saw you in this documentary. You were running circles around just about everybody. You're in terrific shape, aren't you?
What, still going? Still on my 2 feet.
Yes.
I thank God for that.
Yes, you are. Well, it was wonderful to meet you in the documentary, and even better in person. What prompted you to join the Navy during World War II? Why did you do that, Janelle?
I don't know. At 41, I graduated from high school and worked at the telephone company. And the young man that I was going to marry, he joined the Army Air Force. So one day I just went up to the post office and where my dad had his office, and I said, Dad, I want to join the Navy. And he kind of looked at me and he said, really? So he said, well, you think about that. So I thought about it for a few days and took home a lot of books and read about it. And it just interested me very much, and wanted to help, and saw some of the boys coming, going from my class, and a few of them were killed in the service already, and so I just thought I would help out. And it was a great job, and I felt like I was helping out, and that's what I went in for.
And I've read now your primary assignment was coding and decoding messages to and from U.S. ships. What were those messages, and how did you code and decode them?
Well, we had a board. It looked like an easel, and we would put our letters up on there that we received from the enemies, and then they would give us the messages to send from the officers, and it kept them in communication with the ships. And we would write the letters. We would put any kind of a word in front of the message and in the bottom of at the end of the message. And we could write anything we wanted. We could write foods, flowers. But we had to have a padding in the beginning of the message and at the end, and the enemy would have to break that.
Oh.
And coming back to us, we would have to break their code. And we could say anything in the beginning, and then we would just type the message on our typewriter. Our carriage was big because our message had to fit into the big carriage. And it would be like it would come out with our little saying. We could say like going swimming, fall leaves. We could play football. We could just make up anything we wanted, and that would be our padding. Then we would type the message to the ship and pad it in the beginning and pad it after typing the message. Then we would pad it on the end. And that would make them have to break the code, and we would have to break their code also.
Mm, interesting. Your daughter went with you on that November 1st honor flight, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
And how was that for her to be with you? She was seeing a part of your life that was very important.
Oh, yes, it was. And at the end, she said, Mom, I've never been so proud of you, when we got to the end. And that just made me so happy. Is that she is just the most wonderful daughter.
Aww.
And, yeah, she really is, and she's got a lovely husband. I call him my son number two because I have a son Tim that lives with me here. He lives in his family here in South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, it's a nice community. I like South Bend. And what about your husband? He was in the Navy as well. Was he stationed overseas, or where was he?
Yeah, he was in D.C. The young man that I was going to marry, who was killed, his plane went down. He was a gunner on the 25, and they took me on it. They have Patty and Scott winter in Scottsdale, Arizona. And about an hour's drive from there, there is a place where they're redoing all the old planes. And Patty surprised me. She didn't tell me for 4 days when I was visiting them last November. I visited them also in January. Went out to Scottsdale. And they said they have a big surprise for me, but for 3 days she wouldn't tell me. So we got ready and we went on the trip, and about was just an hour trip through, and I saw a sign that said airport, and I put my hands up in the car, and I said, "We're flying." And we went up, Scott and I went up in a B-25.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
what an experience.
Right next to a great big gun. You wouldn't believe how big those guns were and how heavy they were.
Oh. And tell me about the honor flight. Well, it just looked like it's such an amazing, touching, memorable experience to have these people there paying tribute to you.
Yes, it was wonderful, and those people were so nice to us. It was just they just treated us like royalty, and the food was wonderful, and the plain hot sandwiches.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. We didn't know how we were going to eat. You know, they said we would provide the food, and there was this wonderful hot food. And Patty and I sat together. There were three on each side of the plane, and nice people around us. And I met Anna, who was the other, she was in the Army. And it was just us two women with all the men. And we saw all these memorials.
Yes,
and that was wonderful seeing again, because I was I had my training in Stillwater, Oklahoma, where we learned to be a wave, and then we started out at Hunter College for a month in New York, and then we went to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and learned to be a yeoman. Learned what we were going to do and everything, and then I spent the rest of my 3 years in Washington, D.C.
And your barracks were along the Potomac. Your daughter had written to us. Yeah.
Yes, they were. The bridge into Arlington was on one side, and we faced the Pentagon. We could see it from our barracks. And in the wall now is where our barracks were.
Oh.
Our barracks were just temporary, and they were taken down. We visited, Richard and I went there, I can't remember what year it was. The kids were married, and so we went to, he was a public accountant, and we would have seminars, and we had one in, I think, Georgia. And so we drove up to Washington, D.C., and we looked all around where we were.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We're going to learn more about the Stars and Stripes, and thank you for being with us and giving us an inspiration of, how old are you, 92 now?
Yes.
Yeah, you're something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are. You're chipper.
Pardon?
You're chipper.
Well, I feel good yet.
I can tell. Thank you so much. Thanks for your service, and thank you for being with us. Our guest in the Navy, in the Wave in World War II, and we thank her, Rita Janelle Sago. She is now living in Indiana, and she was on that honor flight with Jonathan Lucroy on November 1st. We're going to learn more about the honor flights, because they're continuing, and Wisconsin has this huge presence when you look at honor flights all over the country. We've sent thousands of World War II and Korean vets to Washington, D.C. to see their memorials and to be honored throughout the course of the day. So we're going to be speaking next with someone on the board of directors for the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight Wisconsin. And we have phone calls coming in. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be ignoring you. We just had some vets to talk to. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@wpr.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining us now to give you more information about the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight, and we want to remind you, too, that documentary with Jonathan Lucroy and all of the vets is on JS Online, and it's very moving, and their stories are, of course, always worth listening to. So on the board of directors now of Honor Flight, and joining us by phone is Karen Rulke, and we'll be welcoming phone calls for her. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. Karen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Kathleen. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, our pleasure. And it must have been a special trip with Jonathan Lucroy, because to have somebody who so many of the vets could relate to and admire, and for him to be there for them, made it a unique and, I'm sure, incredibly moving day.
It was great fun. And honestly, from the moment he came into the airport, he was engaged with vets. He was chatting with vets. He was very focused on them. And it was wonderful to see, you know, he really wanted to take a back seat, let them have their day. Mm-hmm. But if he could add to that in any way, he was thrilled to do it.
Yeah, very humble guy. It's amazing how many vets you have taken to D.C. Now, I know it's all over the country. There are 130 hubs, but Wisconsin certainly has to be one of the largest, doesn't it?
We are, and we're one of the oldest as well. We've been flying veterans out of Mitchell Airport since 2008.
Mm-hmm. And the mission is, let's start with who started this. Why did it get started?
Well, our founder is Joe Dean. He's a gentleman in Port Washington who saw a little blurb about the original honor flights, and those happened out of Ohio, and saw a little blurb on TV, thought that someone needed to do it in southeastern Wisconsin, and he assembled the original team, and they got to work.
And the idea is, I know that you've tried to bring as many World War II vets as you can, because they're dying off in large numbers now. And so the idea was World War II, Korean War veterans. The idea is to bring the oldest veterans there first, I would imagine.
That is correct, yes. And we still do get applications from World War II veterans, and we're thrilled when those come in. They move to the top of the list because they're our oldest veterans. We try and take as many Korean veterans on each flight as we can after the World War II vets have been seated on the flight. And then we also will take an application from a terminally ill veteran of any conflict.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan was telling us earlier that three of the people who had been on that flight with him in November have passed away. So one of the last memories for some of the vets you're taking are this journey.
We do hear that, yes. And we had a gentleman on our April flight who passed away about a week after, and his family told us that it was really all he talked about. And that means so much to us that we were able to give him a great day while he was still with us, and he was able to make some wonderful memories with a member of his family.
Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not just being in Washington, although that in itself is enough, but you have these incredible events that take place in the airports.
We do. We really try to treat them to something special all day long. In the morning, we usually have someone there singing the national anthem, and sometimes some musical groups of various kinds will entertain the veterans, even as they're eating breakfast and getting ready to board the plane to Washington. The Honor Flight DC volunteers provide bands at the gate oftentimes, or swing dancers, or all kinds of different entertainment for them, both as they arrive in D.C. and then as they're boarding the plane at the end of the day to go back to Milwaukee. And then certainly when they get back to Milwaukee, we usually have either a high school or a college alumni band. We have cheerleaders, really a parade-type atmosphere to welcome them back.
Does it make a difference? We've talked frequently about how hard it is for vets to be able to open up about their experience in war, because it was hell, I'm sure, for many of them. Mm-hmm. Does this experience give them a chance to open up, at least with each other, about their war experiences, and perhaps with family members as well?
It really does, and that's one of the things I've been surprised by. I've only been with Honor Flight for about a year and a half, and that's been a real pleasant surprise for me, is watching them share with each other. You know, many of these veterans have lost their peer group. They've outlived
yes.
most of their friends, and don't really have a group of buddies anymore that they can chat with. And that's one of their, I think, their favorite things about the day, is they get to sit with other veterans. We try and seat the veterans together on the plane so they have a chance to chat, and we hear them talking on the bus. And I can't tell you how many veterans have made new friends on an honor flight and, you know, really want to keep in touch with those friends after they get back. So,
right.
you know, certainly they do talk to family members as well. But it's really fun watching the veterans connect with each other.
Oh, I'm sure. How wonderful that is. And it all seems to be done, Karen, with the greatest of care.
Well, we try. We've done this many times, so we've learned quite a bit along the way, and we try to anticipate any need they would have all day long. We really want to take the best care of them possible. We fly with a medical team, so we always have two physicians and a nurse or a physician's assistant on each flight, and really bring supplies with us to kind of smooth the way for any possible issue that we might have. So we want the family member and the veteran to be able to relax and really enjoy the day without worrying about anything.
We're talking about the honor flights this hour of the program, starting with Jonathan Lucroy, who was a volunteer on the November flight, November 1st. There are other flights coming up. We'll ask Karen about those. Karen Rilke is on the board of directors of honor flights, and we're welcoming phone calls for her right now. Esther in Watertown has been waiting. Hi, Esther.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because I am a widow of a veteran, and I just got back from the flight that went out of Wausau in northern Wisconsin or central Wisconsin, because I drove up there. It's about a three-hour drive for me up there because my husband's army buddy was going. Because I had shown them the DVD of the honor flight, and I also have sold several of those because our service officer in Dodge County says that's a way that they earn money for the honor flights to go. So I'd given, sold it to our senior center and the library and just different people that are very interested in it. And it is the one that you were just talking about Joe Jean from Port Washington and several of the guys that were interviewed and how this all began in Wisconsin. Are you there?
Oh, yes. We're here. We're just listening. Karen.
Yes, we're just listening. I hope your husband's army buddy had a great time on his flight out of Wausau.
Yes, he did. And I felt good about it because my husband died before it went, and I had shown this guy and his family, they're from Tomahawk, and I was so honored that I could be there. And the night before, they had a dinner for them, and then they had music from that era of the Korean and the World War II and also the Vietnam War. They had that. And on the way back, when they came in, they were late that night coming in, they had a high school band there, but there were also, there was a band from Pearl Harbor that had been in Pearl Harbor sitting there and shaking each one's hand, and an officer, and then they had all these different branches of, like Legion and all that, the Knights of Columbus, and they had a motorcycle group there, and the motorcycle group then escorted them all back on the buses to the hotel, and that, so it was quite the deal. The only thing during the middle of the afternoon, the son that went with his father on the trip said that they had some problem in Washington, D.C. because the Japanese prime minister was in Washington, D.C., and they could not get to see the Vietnam or the Korean memorial because of the roads.
Well, I guess you never know with that, do you? You plan these well in advance. Well, I'm glad your husband's buddy went, and it sounds like a really good trip. Dennis from Ripon, I think, has some questions for you, Karen, about how to get on one of these flights.
Sure, Dennis.
Yes, I have a neighbor who is a World War II veteran, and I would like to get an application for him. How would you go about doing that?
Well, the best way for anyone who's listening to find their closest honor flight hub is to go on honorflight.org, which is the National Honor Flight Network's website. And then they have a link. You can click on regional hubs, and it will list names and contact information for all the regional hubs. So you can, browse down to Wisconsin and find the one that's closest to Ripon. We don't get too many Ripon vets flying with us in Milwaukee. They certainly are welcome, but usually that's too far of a trip for them. So that'll give you contact information for your closest honor flight hub. I don't know if that would be the Green Bay hub.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and that's called Old Glory Honor Flight. Wisconsin hubs do a fantastic job. We just happen to have the highest concentration of vets here in southeastern Wisconsin. So, we tend to maybe take some bigger and more frequent flights than the rest in the state, but they do a fantastic job as well.
Okay, and then there's this, is there an application you have to fill out in?
There is, yep. Every hub has their own.
Oh, they do. Okay.
So on the Old Glory Honor Flight contact page, they'll give you a phone number to call, and then they can either mail you out an application, or there's probably one available for download online. I haven't looked at their website recently, but ours has one.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Jean in Ashland, hi.
I think I'm glad you're being kind to the old veterans, but they still have a great service they could do to the general public of our country and any country of the world. And as the message is that the common people anywhere can stop war in its tracks, right? Stop it all together. If they refuse to kill, refuse to go to war, they vote with their feet, refuse to kill, and then tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Well, I was, some of the vets that Jonathan interviewed talk about, and I think that you realize that when you hear these stories, that so many of the vets are, say that war is hell and we have to figure out a way to stop it, right?
They do, yes. The webisode is very compelling, the documentary, and there are definitely some veterans who, you know, who are carrying so much with them.
Yes.
So that's true.
Yeah. Thank you, Jean, for your call. Gail in where are you from, Gail?
Wazika.
Wazika, where is that?
Semi-Paradisine.
Oh, okay. Hi, Gail.
I was just wondering if any of these veterans have ever been to a memorial in Neillsville, Wisconsin, called the High Ground. It is unbelievable. It's acres and acres, and honor every branch of the service. They have separate memorials for Native Americans, for the waves, for the wax. They've got huge monuments for each one of them, and they have a sculpture that is made up solely of hundreds of thousands of dog tags of MIAs. It's just, and KIAs, it's just unbelievable. And it's all funded by donation.
Hmm.
It sounds very powerful.
Are you familiar with it, Karen?
I'm not, actually.
No, I'm not either. Send us more information if you can. Can you do that, Gail?
Yes. It's called the High Ground.
The High Ground. All right, the High Ground. We wrote it down, and we'll find out more about it. See, I did write it down. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Evelyn and Nina, hi.
Hi there. My husband's turning the radio off.
Okay.
My husband is leaving out of Appleton on Thursday on the Old Glory flight.
Wonderful.
Who's going?
Wonderful program, so he can know what to expect. Also, I want to let you know, a couple years ago, my brother went on it about two, three months before he died.
Oh.
And it was the highlight of his life.
Well, that's what we try. That's what we try for. We really want it to be a great day in the sun for them, where they really feel the appreciation that I think a lot of them have never really felt before.
Mm.
Well, I know Vern is looking so forward to Thursday to be with fellow veterans, and just being with them and know that they are appreciated and honored.
And I think he'll enjoy too the number of volunteers in D.C. Not only when they get off the plane, but even at the memorials, people will approach him, want to take pictures with him, want to talk to him, and so it's really a full day of people being so thrilled to celebrate.
Well, his chaperone called the other day to introduce herself.
Oh.
And she sounds like a wonderful person. I know he's going to have a great time.
He is. Where did he serve, Evelyn?
He was in the Air Force. My husband is 4 1/4 years in the Air Force.
In which war?
The Korean.
Korean War. That was a rough war. Thank you.
But he's just so looking forward to meeting other veterans. He is also a member of the American Legion Post here in the area. And he's also on the, I can't think. For funerals. Honor guard for funerals.
Great. You know, I wish people could send us, if you want to post pictures on our Facebook page, too, we'd love to see a picture of Vern. That would be nice if you can do that, Evelyn. It's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Yesterday we had pets. And by the way, thank you for all of your pet pictures. I should have been working yesterday and I was looking at dogs and cats and guinea pigs. But post for people who have been on one of these honor flights. It would be great to hear from you. And Karen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a part of this. It's a wonderful program, and we really appreciate your being with us.
Kathleen, thanks so much for having me. Anyone who is looking for information about our local Southeastern Wisconsin Honor Flight Hub can find us at starsandstripeshonorflight.org. And if you're outside of the Milwaukee area, then just honorflight.org will help you find your closest Honor Flight Hub.
Thank you, Karen. Karen on the board of directors, Karen Relke of Honor Flight. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this program, and to KP as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We have news coming up.